last month, the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission rejected a Form 2A that was submitted by URSA Resources, and it's for their APAD that includes more natural gas wells plus an injection well within the Battlement Mesa PUD. I'm wondering if you could tell me why the COGCC rejected that.
The primary reason for the rejection of URSA's APAD Form 2A had to do with the pre-application notices that were required for that application. And during our review, it became apparent that those pre-application notices had not been fully and properly made to all of the required surrounding homeowners. And so there's no sort of going back on that. It's not something that can be corrected in process. It is something that we felt required the rejection, and then they'll have to make those notices properly and then resubmit their application.
Did these notices have to do with Tamarisk Village, the mobile home park that was less than 500 feet from the proposed APAD?
Possibly. I actually don't know all of the addresses that were deficient in notice, but they may have been within that mobile home park.
In order to avoid a variance hearing in front of the COGCC, URSA or any natural gas company needs to get waivers from people who live less than 500 feet from a pad like this in a large urban mitigation area, if I'm understanding correctly. There has been some question about the waivers that URSA tried to get. Because they have to start over again with Form 2A, will URSA need to get waivers all over again?
They do need to obtain waivers from all building unit owners within 500 feet. The director can't approve the application until those waivers are secured, or as you mentioned, a variance is secured. So it won't prevent them from resubmitting their application if there are issues with the waivers, but we would require those waivers be fully in force and in place before the director approves the application.
Let's say there are five homes. Just for a nice round number, there are five homes that are within 500 feet of a proposed pad like this, and the company has to get waivers from each person. What happens if one of those people refuses to sign the waiver?
Well, we aren't able to approve that application unless the operator seeks a variance, and the director could certainly consider a variance. You know, this is a unique application, and we'll have to consider the facts once the application is resubmitted, and we'll go from there.
It's either all of them sign the waiver, or even if one refuses to sign a waiver or rescinds the waiver, then the natural gas company has to go for a variance application.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, they would negotiate with each of those parties individually to secure their waivers. And that rule actually came out of our 2013 setback rulemaking. When we established those rules, it was clear that if you didn't get waivers from all those parties, that you didn't have what it took to get your location.
Is it okay with the COGCC, for lack of a better phrase, that the energy company offers monetary compensation in exchange for signing a waiver?
Well, I don't want to get too philosophical about the, about that. You know, we are a regulatory agency and we're bound by rules and statute. So, you know, truly the means by which the waiver was obtained, provided it's not illegal coercion or blackmail or something like that, obviously. I think offering a monetary compensation to people for signing a waiver is, I think there's a lot of precedent for that. It would be much akin to, getting a surface use agreement from someone. There's monetary compensation for that. In this case, you're essentially getting that agreement for someone whose surface you're not occupying, but who is nearby.